Oddnuts Daily is brought to you by Super Anti Spyware. Remove all the spyware, not just the easy ones, at superantispyware.com. And also the Podnuts Tech Website Builder. Build a Podnuts endorsed computer repair business website today at techsitebuilder.com. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 264. Podnuts Daily is a show about computer repair. We each day we have a computer repair technician come on the show, or somebody who works in the computer repair field, and they share tips and tricks and business secrets and other things that they're doing in their computer repair business that they want to share with you. So joining us today is John from Evernet Support. The website for that is evernet.co.uk. That's evernet.co.uk. John, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Steve?
Pretty good. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling at the moment from Bristol in England, but actually Evernet Support's based in Swansea, which is in Wales.
Swansea.
Swansea, yes. It's on the south coast of Wales.
What a great name for a town. I would love to have a business in Swansea.
Swansea, it's a nice name.
It's just fun to say. Okay, how's your business doing?
It hasn't actually set up just yet. In the process of setting it up. It's based, because I'm a student at the Swansea University, and I'm quite technical. People ask me all the time, oh, can you look at this, can you look at that? And I'm just thinking, why aren't people going to computer repair companies? Because there isn't one specifically created for students. And I thought, well, this is a kind of niche in the market. I can kind of get in here. I can plug the gap, essentially. So I'm kind of advertising towards students, specifically in the Swansea area. And that's kind of the hole that I'm trying to fill.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So you're marketing towards students.
Well, marketing towards students, yes.
Very cool. So when do you plan on launching?
Launching 20th September. Is the official launch date. That coincides with the term date as well.
Great.
It officially launches on the 1st of September for kind of just for the financial year and tax and stuff and that.
Great. I love your website.
Yes. It's partly inspired by the Tech Site Builder. I do have the Tech Site Builder website. It's a laptop-repair-swansea.co.uk, and that is a Tech Site Builder site.
Oh, cool.
And that's basically for all the AdWords. Because I get quite a lot of adverts. Because the Evernet Support website is actually based on a WordPress theme, and I'm not quite sure what other people have found, but it's not really, I don't really find it's kind of interlinks with AdWords as well. Other people might find that it does or doesn't, but I found the Tech Site Builder works, kind of clicks into the AdWords kind of immediately, whereas kind of the WordPress lags a little bit behind.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, the Tech Site Builder, I geared it. It's like a 1-2 punch with that and AdWords.
Yeah.
But it was funny, but I was looking at your site earlier, and I'm like, this is a nice site. And I was looking and looking and looking. I'm like, all right, where's his phone number? I mean, I'm like, he's got every element on there except his phone number. And I'm like, all right, this is one of the things I have to talk to him about. And then, like, 5 minutes before the show, I went back to your site, and boom, the phone number's right in my face. So
yeah,
you made some last-minute changes.
the last week or so is kind of I'm doing really kind of trying to get the site all up and ready. I've got a few of the volunteers. I've kind of already got the T-shirts printed up and like a staff picture.
I see that with faces blacked out.
Faces blacked out because I haven't really got everyone in one place at the moment yet.
It's all all the body of that girl there, but they have no heads.
Yeah, they all have no heads because I thought, well, I can't really put kind of silhouettes of someone, so I just thought I'd just do the same one. But the phone number, I didn't put it on there because people still are finding it and people are still kind of contacting me. And I'm saying, well, we're not really set going yet because it takes a few months I've found that it takes about 3 months for Google to find you. So I've kind of set it up a few months before kind of the launch date.
Smart.
So if I put the phone number on, people can ring me, but I haven't set up the phone number yet. So,
well, if you're getting traffic already and you don't even want it, that's great.
Yeah, but I don't want to kind of turn the website off because then Google doesn't recognize
it.
That's right. And it's a bit, yeah.
Good. Okay, so what did you bring for us today, John?
Right, because I'm just starting my business, I'm going to go through quite a lot of how I kind of prepared the business and marketing and advertising and how that's worked for me, and it may work for other technicians in and around the kind of the UK as well as applicable to the kind of the US as well.
Okay.
Firstly, getting money is obviously kind of investing into a business, obviously, for the first time is kind of quite tricky to kind of get investment. I'm quite lucky. I've got friends and family who have invested into me. And also the Welsh Assembly Government, the local government, have also kind of given me grants and bursaries to kind of try and set up a business.
How did you get the grants and stuff like that?
Well, the Welsh Assembly in Southwest Wales, after the mines collapsed, kind of the miners' strikes and things, there was a big kind of major unemployment, and the Welsh Assembly, to try and get people back into work, they were trying to. There's encouragements and bursaries to try and get people to start their own companies, to kind of lessen the unemployment benefit, to kind of lower unemployment, to try and get people back into work, even if it is kind of their own company. So I get some money from the Welsh Assembly government, and I think I get a grant from the university. I think if you're in your final year or after you've just graduated, give you bursaries as well.
That's good. Now, I'm curious, because when I started my business, I had nothing, and I didn't even get. I didn't even think about getting a loan or a grant. I just kind of started with AdWords, and you know, I could afford $8 a month for a website. But what are you putting the money towards that the investors are investing in you?
Well, total today, I think I've got about £1,000, which works out at about, I think it's $1,300 to $1,500, I think it is. I spent that on flyers, T-shirts, a kind of a loan laptop, to kind of give it, to kind of loan out, in because it's mainly laptop repairs, because the target audience, students, kind of, so they say 80% of students take laptops with them to university.
Good for you. Good for you with the laptop repairs.
Yeah, so the tagline, well, our slogan is "We are the laptop repair experts," and I'm going to plug your laptop repair videos here, because I've got them. They're really good. I mean, I am a laptop repair expert because of those videos.
Oh, great!
Although we haven't actually properly set up, I have had a few customers, like friends of friends, and are kind of using those videos. I mean, they're really quite. If you haven't got the videos, I'd really suggest getting them, because they're vital, really, to what I do.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate that plug. And I'm glad they helped you.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, I haven't actually got them all downloaded, because I kind of download them as and when I need them.
Yeah.
Because they are quite big, aren't they?
You're huge. I know
a few of the podcasts ago you saying that you get nailed to the bandwidth.
Yeah, I did. I had to put them on a separate hosting site. But the thing is, it's a toss-up. Do I want to have YouTube quality, or do I want to have like pristine, crystal HD video? Yeah. And I recorded it in HD. I said, okay, suck it up on the bandwidth. You're going to get good quality whether you like it or not.
Yeah, the HD is kind of really kind of top notch. I mean, you can put it on full screen, and I've got it's a 21-24 inch screen, and it looks kind of pristine quality, kind of that big.
Cool, I'm glad. So, yeah, it's good you're doing laptops, and so you're doing students and laptops. It's a very cool niche. I think it's going to be quite profitable for you, actually.
Because, well, if I try and explain kind of how Swansea University is set up, it's kind of about 5 miles outside, it's kind of 5 miles west to the of the centre, and there's kind of the student communities built around that. And the nearest kind of, I know to your Best Buy, we've got a PC World, that's a kind of big chain.
Okay.
We've got PC World, but that's in, I think it's Llansamlet, which is about 10 miles away, and not many students have got cars. And I mean, you don't want to be carting things back and forward on a bus. I mean, it's a bit too much like hard work. So, I've found quite a lot of the students are just kind of either living through the problems, or just I've seen in some of the local papers they've got the call Steve on his mobile, and he'll do it for I do it for any repair for £10, which is about $15, and he just sit there going, oh no, what? Oh, I just can't imagine if you're trying to repair it for $15, I mean, he can't even take his time for that.
I don't know. But I got to tell you, I have to interject here, because I heard something on the radio today, and I think now is just. It's the best time in the world to get into computer repair, especially laptop repair. Definitely computer repair, because I heard a commercial on the laptop or on the radio today, on like broadcast radio, just for a program about removing spyware. And it was a great commercial. It was like no cheesy background music. It was just a guy saying, "Is your computer running slow? Well, run the software and it will speed it up." Like, it was that simple, the message. And he kept saying the number. His website had a great name. And I'm thinking, you know, even if the software is bogus or not, I don't even know. There's no one click fix for any computer, but this software might help a couple people. But anyway, I'm sure he's getting tons and tons of calls and orders based off of it. So it made me think, oh man, I could have did that. So
yeah.
It's really a good time to get into a computer repair business.
It is. I found, because I know a couple of my friends are starting their own businesses, not in computer repair, but their own businesses. I found that a business plan is quite helpful.
Okay.
I mean, more so as a guide, more so than anything else.
Right.
Because they say in the UK, 2 out of every 3 businesses will fail within their first 3 years of startup. I mean, if you just think out of all the companies that are formed every year, two out of every three of them are going to fail. They say if you write a business plan and you get kind of all prepared, you're kind of more likely to succeed.
So what do you suggest that people do for a business plan, or how do they prepare?
There are like free business plans online. I mean, the template I used was actually from Microsoft Word. They had a template. it was actually quite a thorough and in-depth template. It's like on Microsoft Online, I think it was. Okay. But it's a really good kind of, it goes you through like all the different stages of a business plan, and kind of pricing and policy and this and the other. If you kind of time rich, it is something you can do to kind of, I don't know, say kill a few hours. But it kind of gets you kind of in the mindset as well, so you know exactly what to do. And if you've got any, I say it's more of a guide for myself really. So if I got any questions, I can go back to it and say, oh, well, that's how I should do it, type thing.
I think it's very smart.
Yeah. Well, that and the to get a grant, you've got to write a business plan. So
there you go. Kind of forced into it there. No, it's good. Yeah, at least you have. If you don't have any vision, the business plan provides vision. So at least you know where you want to go.
Yeah. So you've got to write like who's your market, who's your niche, what's your slogan thing. Because there's quite a few of them, especially in South Wales. There's quite a few of them that go, "We'll repair anything." For kind of any price, we'll repair it, and that's good. I mean, if they're that good. That's if they can repair anything, that's good. But kind of if you've got a niche market, obviously you can, if you can target that market. I know a few of them. There was a Simon, I think, from Haverford West was doing a niche market, and there was a guy from Cornwall in the UK. He was focusing on OAPs, pensioners, and they were trying to kind of the elderly sector.
Gotcha. OAPs. What's OAP?
Old age pensioner.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Like they're 70, 65 plus.
Right.
And that is quite a niche market because they need training. And I mean, my granny's always ringing me up saying, "How do I get on the internet?" I said, "It's the big E on your desktop. It's the only desk." I've kind of taken everything off and it's just an E in the middle of the screen. I said, "Double click on that and you're there."
You know, they should have called it the Ethernet. If they called it the Ethernet, then people would make sense about what that E is all about.
I know, she goes, "But it's like an E." And I says, "I know, it's the internet." But I said, "It says Internet Explorer underneath. Just click on it and in the address bar." And all. I don't know, she's quite good with the internet now. I can imagine OAPs, kind of the elderly sector, is quite big, as much as so as kind of households or businesses are. I know there's quite a few companies that kind of focus specifically on businesses, and they're really good at what they do.
Sure.
I think if you've got a vision, and you can kind of try and build on that vision and become kind of good at what you want to do.
I'll tell you, if you become a laptop specialist, you're going to do well.
Yeah, I like to think so. Because I think the students, because they're always moving around. And, I mean, all the students I know have got laptops. I'm the only guy I know with a desktop.
Really?
Everyone else has got laptops.
What are they carrying around, students, these days? Are they Macs or PCs or both?
Oh no, they're all PCs. I've known one or two Macs, gotcha. But they're the rich kids.
Uh-huh.
They're the kids who like if it goes wrong, they'll just buy another one, basically. they're pretty like Toshibas and Asus, kind of like they're 2 gig RAM, Windows Vista. So they're getting better.
Good.
And I've got a couple of funny customer stories I'll come on to later.
Okay.
It's all good. I was going to come on to website design.
Sure.
I originally was a web designer and graphic designer before kind of, I say, retraining. Because last year I took a gap year out and I did IT support for a year in a corporate environment.
Good for
and
you.
I kind of got and I got really kind of taste for it. And I was like, oh, this is going really good. I really want to kind of take this further. Obviously, I can get paid more or less, obviously. I can kind of choose my own working hours, so I don't have to get up at kind of 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I kind of get up anytime. And there's a good website, like the Tech Site Builder. If you have no idea of web design, that's the kind of the perfect kind of slot to put in. And even, I mean, I know quite a fair bit, I'd say, about web design, but even I put it in because it hooks so nicely in with the AdWords. And if you aren't getting enough traffic, I mean, you might just trial it. I mean, even if you get one or two customers, it'll pay for itself.
That's what I think too. And you know, it's kind of designed so you don't have to think about it. Like, yeah, if you don't want to think about it, and some people like really like to design their own stuff, and that's really cool. I go for it. But if you don't want to think about it, you just want to start a business and have something there that works, then that's kind of the reason I did it.
I think Door to Door Geek said on the I was on the Podnuts forums earlier, and he was we were talking about someone. I think it was someone was talking about BeaconTechSolutions.com, and they were saying, "Oh, does my website look busy?" And everyone was commenting saying, "Yes, it looks so busy. Try the tech site builder." And Door to Door Geek said, "You've got to try and get all the information you need above the fold." You're talking about above the fold, like if you've got a newspaper, and obviously they kind of fold it in half, so it's the top half or the kind of the screen where someone doesn't have to scroll down.
Exactly.
Most people won't scroll down. They'll look at the page, and what they want from that page, they're going to go for that X in the corner very quickly.
Right. You're going to hear that a lot in web design, above the fold. Yeah. It's very important.
Above the fold. Mm. So I think the tech site builder does that perfectly. Because, I mean, even on my netbook, it's like a 10-inch screen. I mean, it fits perfectly into that screen.
Good.
I mean, even on like an iPhone or a mobile browser, it fits kind of very nicely in that screen. And I mean, it's all above the fold. You've got all the information right at the top, so people see what you do and your phone number. And I mean, that's the model website, really, for any kind of computer repair.
John, I got to just stop you here. No, guys, I did not tell John to say any of this stuff before the show, I swear.
I've kind of modeled parts of my website on that because it is kind of such a, why hasn't anyone done so simplistic? Because I know a few people ask me, oh, what do you think of this website? And I said, well, it's busy.
Right.
And at the minute, web design is all about simplicity because people are already, they're overcrowded with information.
Too much.
So much information out there. And if you make it simplistic, I mean, that's sometimes the best.
Especially for a non-techie. See, the person who's going to look for computer repairs, a non-techie. And people, they get the wrong idea about, like, they want to put so much information and present it to the customer. He doesn't want that. He doesn't need that. And he can't handle that. And just, that's why when on my site, it was, okay, we fix computers. I put the phone number. I put a picture of a dude fixing a computer or your shop. And I put call us. And see, if you do that and you get somebody on the phone, you talk to him on the phone and find out what his problem is. You know, you close the deal over the phone. Don't try to close people with your website. Close them over the phone, because if you try to close them with your website and answer all their questions and send them off to links and describe what spyware is, then they're going to get confused and they're going to go somewhere else. Because whenever you come across something that confuses you, you really don't want to have anything to do with that thing anymore. You don't like it. You don't have affinity for it. You don't want it. So you go somewhere else. So don't confuse people and you'll be okay.
No, I mean, when I design a website, I've got like a form of what should be designed and things. And one of the parts, it said, what does the user want? What will they feel emotionally? Right. And I says, well, most of the time, if someone's actively looking for laptop repairs, they're going to be distressed, upset, worried. They're not going to be in a state to kind of read huge blocks of text, because they're going to be like, my laptop's broken. I need it fixed now.
Right.
So they kind of want it all. They want the information kind of so kind of simple and separated, like, this, we will fix your problem. This is our number. We're amazing. Call us now.
Right.
And then, like you said, you can close it over the phone, and that's kind of probably the best way to do it.
Yeah. If you're able to talk to somebody and they can tell you what their problem is over the phone, you know, after they tell you what the problem is, they got that off their chest. They feel like they told you something that was somewhat confidential to them, and then they kind of like build this trust, and they don't even know you. I've had people come in and say at my shop, they're like, oh, I'm going to recommend you to everybody. This is before I even worked on their computer.
Customer service is just, if you're just friendly, you pick up the phone and you go, hi, how are you? And I mean, as long as you're friendly, I mean, even if it's bad news, that they'll still, because you've been friendly and tell them in kind of a personal way what's going on.
Right.
People appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right. What else you got for us, John?
Okay. Look credible. I've got a bullet point here. I've got a membership with the ACRBO. If anyone doesn't know that, that's the Association of Computer Repair Business Owners. That's based, I think, in Virginia, and you get a nice little logo you can put in your things. It's basically kind of an association to say we'll adhere to this kind of codes of conduct and things. And I mean, it doesn't give guarantees to the customer, but I mean, if a customer's looking on a website and they're trying to look for kind of accreditations, or this company's reputable, well, this kind of business is reputable. Even just kind of the free membership, the little logo at the bottom saying we're registered with the ACRBO, people think, oh, that this gives them a bit of peace of mind that they're not giving their laptop over, and they'll then see on Gumtree or Craigslist kind of next week, and the laptop will have been pinched.
This is a great point. This is run by Dan Hand. He's in the Podnuts forums under Hand. He's got a great association here, and his logo is very professional. It's like a Better Business Bureau stamp for computer repair technicians.
I put it on all my kind of marketing and advertising things. Just at the bottom, it says registered with the ACRBO and kind of the little association of computer repair business owners. And people kind of think, oh, you can almost trust us because we're I said not regulated, but we're kind of registered with them, and we're kind of the logo looks really professional,
right?
And I mean, if it's acrbo.com, I think it is.
Yep, acrbo.com.
acrbo.com. Yeah, I mean, you can just get the free membership. I've got the paid membership, so we've got a nice little certificate to go with it.
That's great.
But you can just get the free membership, just sign up, stick the logo on that. It kind of gives people peace of mind, because as they're looking through the contact information things, they want to kind of know that they're not really kind of going out to someone who's going to destroy their laptop or kind of make it even worse and then give it back to them. They're kind of going to get someone who's accredited or kind of looks credible.
Also, the Association of Computer Repair Business Owners has benefits too. I mean, Dan has it set up that you get discounts on software and stuff if you join. So. It's not just for the stamp of approval. I mean, you get other benefits for being in that association as well.
Yeah, you get discounts on, I think there's web hosting and domains, I think, that he's got on there. Yep. This is a really good kind of membership benefits packet. I mean, even for free, you just sign up and get these discounts. I mean, if you already shop there, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
There you go.
Last thing on the marketing and advertising, because I'm catering to students, I kind of marketing at this, they call it a Freshers' Fair, and it's basically a big gazebo, and local businesses and the societies and clubs and groups and things, they're all under one roof, and it's a freebie giveaway. So you give away all these kind of advertising and promotional materials, and I mean, to the students, I remember last year going, and it's kind of basically see how much cool stuff you can get. I mean, they've got like frisbees with kind of the Swansea logo written on, and all these kind of weird and wonderful stuff, like those fluorescent tubes you can kind of whack on your wrist and they curl around. So what I'm doing is fridge magnets, because they say that people go to the fridge like several times a day.
Some more than others.
Some more than others, yeah. Students probably more so than anyone else, especially if the alcohol's in there. So fridge magnets. And they say, if you put a fridge magnet on there, I know I put a fridge magnet on there for the, I don't know, it's the NHS or something. And I mean, I left it there for the next people to come, and then they'll have that fridge magnet as well. So it's kind of always impressions. If you then go to the fridge and say, oh, my laptop's buggered. And then you open the fridge and you say, oh, There's someone who can help me. I can just quickly go on the website or ring them up and they'll be able to fix it. And it's not, because I have got flyers as well, but flyers are more kind of, you give them to someone, they read it, and they throw it out.
Right.
So there's not the kind of constant impression.
Now, where do you get these printed? You said you go to a fair to hand them out?
Yeah, this is the Freshers' Fair.
Freshers' Fair?
Freshers' Fair. It's for, I think you call them freshmans.
Gotcha. Yeah. Freshers' Fair. Oh, so okay, I gotcha. It's like an orientation type of deal.
Yeah, it's like an orientation. The first year you come in and they kind of, although everyone else does come in as well, and they kind of go around and they kind of sign up to clubs and societies and groups, and then kind of Subway is always there giving out vouchers and coupons, and Pizza Hut and all these kind of McDonald's are there as well, kind of giving it away. You can buy one, get one free burgers and things. I think the fridge magnets, obviously it caters to different kind of where you're going. I know some people in the forums, I think, are saying, or could you stick a sticker on a computer, on like a client's computer, so if it breaks again, that they'd come back. But some people said, well, some clients might not want a sticker, or especially not a magnet on the computer, because you can kind of damage it. You might be able to damage it.
Right. Just stick a magnet right on the hard drive there.
Yeah, so you're right on the hard drive. I mean, just kind of make sure you've rubbed it all up and down the motherboard. I mean, it'd be fine. I'm quite lucky. I've got a couple of friends who kind of said, oh, they'll volunteer for a couple of days, and they're going to dress up in these green T-shirts. I think if you go on the website, you can see the lovely green T-shirts we got on there.
Are all those people, we can't see some of their heads, but they're all on your staff right now?
Yeah, well, I'm not, I don't employ them. Much to say is they'll kind of volunteer.
Gotcha.
And they're going to, because it's a 2-day event, so kind of they'll be working, I say almost in shifts, so they'll be they'll work a couple of hours each, and, gotcha. And I'll get them, I'll buy them a beer at the end of the day.
Right.
So, I mean, right. So yeah, I think it's quite good. Fridge magnets.
Where do you get them made?
Vistaprint is uh-huh. where I get them made.
Okay.
I looked everywhere for trying to have a cheaper quote, because I don't like, because on Vistaprint, they give you a price, and they don't include tax, they don't include delivery, and they don't include shipping. Or anything. Now, in the US, I know you don't have sales tax. Like if it's on the shelf, it's $100. It's actually $100 plus the sales tax. But in Britain, kind of they have it all inclusive. So when it doesn't have inclusive, I know they're going, well, I've got to spend more money. It's very confusing.
It is. They make a lot of money like that. Especially, they kill you on shipping. They say, like, we'll ship it for like $7, but it'll take 3 weeks. Or we'll ship it for $25, it'll take 2 days. I mean, they really kill you on the shipping.
I know. I think all they do is actually make it in 3 days or 2 days, and then just wait for 2 weeks and then ship it out to you.
Absolutely. Because here's a trick. Buy the cheapest and you'll get it sooner. Usually you'll get it sooner than what they say.
I ordered some kind of postcards up, and I selected 3 weeks, and it came in like a week and a half.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, glad I didn't buy the 2 weeks, because exactly. I mean, we're right in some time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, Vistaprint's kind of that's where I get my fridge magnets. And it's just kind of, you've got Vistaprint in the States, haven't you?
Yeah, well, you actually go to we do it online, right? Is that what you're talking about, online?
Yes, sorry, yeah. Online, yeah. There's a Vistaprint.co.uk.
Vistaprint, we have Vistaprint.com, definitely.
Yeah, Vistaprint.com, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got for the marketing.
Hey, before we go on, another good thing that you have on your site is testimonials, and this is key as well.
Yes.
People love to see what other people are think about businesses. So if you could swing a couple testimonials, get some good things, have some of your customers, or even just take notes of what they say. If they say something great about you or send you an email with some good news, put testimonials on your site from your customers or other people, and that'll help your business as well, your website as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm registered on this. It's called Free Index, and that's freeindex.co.uk. But I did research this earlier, and there's an American one, freeindex.com. And the gadget on the little bottom, it says we're rated, I think it's 4.81 out of 5 with 7 reviews. And I mean, any customer I get, I said, oh, thank you very much. And if you're satisfied with that, and if they say yes, I said, well, I'll send you an email and there'll be a link. Could you just write us a little testimonial? And most of the time, they're very happy to do that. I mean, it takes 2-3 minutes out of their day, and they just got to type a little testimonial in. And they click submit, and it kind of makes and kind of other people can kind of judge us against what our previous customers have said.
That's so great. So, what is this, like a widget then from Free Index that you have on your site?
Yeah, on Free Index. If I just try and find it now, it's on the main page, right at the bottom. It says like we're rated.
Oh, that's a great idea. So if somebody writes a new review, it'll like kind of go into the feed there.
Yeah, and when it says testimonials and it says our latest customer reviews, just kind of on the bottom left hand side of the site, that's a widget from Free Index, and it's kind of got the latest 3 reviews and kind of who they are, what the date was, and what they gave you, kind of out of 5. I'm quite lucky; most of my customers are quite very pleased with what I do. So they give me 5 out of 5. But I mean, I've gone to some of them, and you look at other kind of you can browse through on Free Index of all the other computer repair tech companies in your area, and some of them have got like 1 out of 5 by like 20 people saying they're rip-off companies.
That's so great.
And it's like, oh, well, they've also registered up and filled it out and then kind of neglected it, and their customers hate them, really.
It's
so
funny. I did this. I went to a Sony's website because I wanted to buy a new car stereo that had Bluetooth. Mm. I wanted Bluetooth and build on my stereo. So I went to Sony's website, and I'm checking out some of the car stereos from Sony, and they put their reviews from customers like right on their home, like their website.
Oh, no.
So the first one was like 1 star. It said, first of all, I'd like to meet the bonehead who designed this thing. It's like right on their website. So yeah, you can get in trouble. You got to make sure you have a good product and good service before you put a widget like that on your site.
Yeah, you do. And I say I'll only send it to them kind of after I've said, are you satisfied? Is there anything more I can do?
Right.
Because
right.
if they're kind of grumbled, if they're kind of like, well, I want you to do this, right. I don't want them to say, oh, okay, I'll send you a link, because then they'll write me a 1-star review.
Right.
So I kind of try and make sure they're all nice and happy before sending them a link, obviously, just so I don't get negative feedback, really.
Right. Good move. Let's talk for a minute about our sponsor, Super Anti-Spyware, available for free at superantispyware.com. It is one of my favorite anti-spyware programs, if not the favorite. It just it always finds something. It always finds that thing that none of the other programs do. You got to check it out. The free edition, you could download and run that, and it doesn't have scheduled scan. You got to run it manually. The pro edition includes the ability to schedule a scan, offers real-time protection, automatic definition updates. These guys are on the ball because their database is updated 3 to 10 times daily. So you want to have the pro edition so you could get all those updates in real time. Lifetime licenses are also available. If you have an antivirus on your computer, super nice spyware can peacefully coexist with those. Any of those security products, Norton McAfee, you know, God help you if you're running them. Also, super nice spyware is lightweight, easy to use, easy to install. If you do want to buy the pro version, type the coupon code FRIEND at checkout to receive a discount. Or for those of you technicians out there, you really need to be selling anti-spyware to your customers. That's why Super Anti-Spyware has a reseller program. There's two ways you could do this. You could buy Super Anti-Spyware licenses in bulk for a huge discount and then mark that up and sell that to your customers for a fair price. Your customers will be happy. You'll be happy. We'll all be happy. Or if you don't want to buy in bulk, you could just set up an affiliate link with Super Anti-Spyware, and they'll give you a code, a link, and you can put it on your website or do whatever you want with it. And anytime anybody uses that link, you will receive a commission on that sale. So if somebody buys Super Anti-Spyware from your website, you get a commission on that. Both are excellent. You should definitely check it out. If you are interested in this and want to be part of the reseller program, contact Mike Duncan at Super Anti-Spyware. His phone number is 541-607-6553, extension 111. Call him on a regular phone, 541-607-6553, extension 111, or just email him at mike.duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, at superantispyware.com. If you tell him that Podnut sent you, you will receive a special offer that nobody else in this universe will receive. So check it out. We want to thank Super Antispyware for being a sponsor for Podnuts.
Tech stuff, and a couple of things techie-wise. Sure. Auto ITV3.
Say it
I know
again?
A couple of people. It's Auto IT V3.
Okay.
It's like it's like a very easy coding language. I can use it very often, and I know Laluno, I think it's on the forums. He's written a nice common Windows tasks.
Lalo.
He's written common Windows tasks.
Yes.
Through Auto IT V3. And I mean, you double click that, and it comes up with all the kind of various things without having to open the control panel.
What's this? What's the website? Is it autoitscript.com? Is that the website?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yes, yeah, autoit. It's just like a scripting language.
Yeah, autoitscript.com. Well, I typed autoit v3 in Google, and that's the first one that came up. So
yeah, that's it. And it runs off a Citee editor, I think it is. That's really good. Last year, I was actually asked to create a backup solution. Like actually create, not find off the internet. I had to create my own backup solution as a project. And I use this to kind of secure data onto USB flash drives. So it kind of compressed it into a folder and then kind of password protected it because people are always losing their USB sticks and they don't want company data kind of lost in the ether.
Is this easy to learn?
Yeah, I mean, I picked it up in about a week or so, and there's like free kind of manuals you can get online, and there's a couple of books. I think O'Reilly Books they do one, and there's an Auto IT V3 for dummies as well.
Wow!
So I think that's on Amazon. So I mean, there are quite a few books, and there's loads of forums. There's a big forum kind of to go with that, and quite a lot of people ask questions and things. It's a really kind of quite a good casual scripting almost, because I'm not really into the hardcore C++ or C# or whatever it is. But for the kind of to automate a few kind of processes, I think Auto IT is kind of it suits my needs. And I think out there, as some of the computer guys might find that if might automate a couple of their little processes that they find really kind of monotonous,
sure,
kind of copy paste or something. This is really kind of a nice little tool.
Looks great. And they got a cool logo too, by the way.
Yeah, they got it's like a little kind of A, and yes, it's a nice little logo.
Good one.
Threatfire. The guy came on. Oh, it must be a few weeks ago now about Threatfire.
Yes.
Very good program. I quite like it. The only thing I don't like about Threatfire is it clashes with my Microsoft 2010 beta. So I sent an email on Microsoft Outlook and I click send, and this big flashing warning came up going, warning, Microsoft Outlook is connecting to the internet suspiciously. do you want to continue? So they go, well, I know Microsoft is a bit shifty, but I'm not trying to spam me or anything. But I mean, I'm always a bit kind of, I know you say you don't like kind of things that don't make any noise, and I'm kind of the same. I don't like something that sits there and it doesn't make any noise.
Right.
But then when it does, it's kind of for something kind of very trivial, and you're like, oh. But at least the note works. It's doing something. It's
well, fun. I mean, did you only have to hit it once and then it says, okay, I accept Microsoft, or does it happen every time?
No, you can just have it every time, but I click the remember forever and click allow.
Good.
It never comes up again.
You mean so Office 2000 doesn't like, or Office 2010 it doesn't like?
Yeah, Office 2010, but this is the beta, so I'm not sure the real product might actually work with it, but the beta.
It better, because Threadfire is the same, it's PC tools, so the same company as PC tools, so it better. Yeah. They better recognize Microsoft as okay, unless Microsoft is getting shifty on us.
It might be. I think, I don't know what was going on, but it's just coming out. It was, well, this program is acting suspiciously. Do you want us to terminate it? And I was like, no.
That's great.
That was the only gripe I had with it. It looks a very good program. I don't have any...
It's cool. Threadfire, because it's meant to be run with an antivirus, and there's not a lot of programs that are meant to be run along with an antivirus, but this is, so it's...
No, I really like the setup, so when you kind of installed it, it kind of checked you had a firewall and checked you have an antivirus, and it wouldn't install, well, I don't think it would install, unless you had both those, because it kind of came up in like a circle, and it said this is kind of adds to your circle of protection. There was a nice little graphic that came up, and, I mean, it worked really well with AVG. I got AVG 9.0, and it works really well with that. They don't clash at all. They seem to work side by side. So I always thought the security products never worked well with each other. And then McAfee and Norton are terrible for kind of working with anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Especially kind of themselves, really. You should try to go on the internet. And they go, no, you don't want to go on the internet. And you're like, I do. But
so. If you go to Threatfire's website, they actually show what programs they work best with. Kaspersky, AVG, Trend Micro. They actually do work with McAfee, but still.
Yeah, but we won't say much about McAfee, really. And it kind of gives you, like, it's a protection bar, isn't it? So if you stick it with this antivirus, it will give you so much more protection.
Right.
Exactly. I like the idea. It's a very good kind of like behavioral anti kind of malware program. Right? This is a really good idea. I think it's a good program.
Cool. Yeah, I got to try that again. I haven't tried it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I've got three funny, well, I say funny. I say they were angry for me, but customer stories.
Okay.
I had this guy come in. And he brings it in, and he doesn't speak good English, so I'm going, oh, this is going to be one of those jobs. And he brings me in a pink laptop, so I'm instantly thinking he's pinched this off someone, because he seemed kind of their dodgy type. And I say, oh, it's going to turn into a stolen laptop, but it didn't. It was all right. Yeah, he had all the receipts and warranties and things, so I thought he was right. So he says he won't boot up. So I go, all right. So I start to take it apart, and the first thing I do, obviously, is take the RAM. The back of the RAM off to kind of get to all the other screws. I took this RAM off. There's no RAM in it. I was like, oh, well, that's your problem, really. So I rang him up and said, oh, you need RAM. I'll order it for you for next day delivery and things. So I put it all together, and said, yep, all works now.
That was it?
But then he said, what really made me angry, because I'm a computer, I'm doing a postgraduate, like a doctorate in computer science. He goes, there was RAM in there when I gave it to you. And I was like, well, there wasn't, because that's why it wouldn't boot up. And he was like, no, there was RAM when I gave it to you. Where is that RAM? And I was like, what do you think I've done? Pinched off with your two-year-old RAM? What am I going to do with it? And he just insisted that I give him back the original RAM that was in there. And I said, there wasn't any. Because how can that be? I bought it, and it had RAM, and it worked, and then it didn't work. I said, but yeah, because someone had kind of filed off the top of the screw. So I said, someone has been in here to take the RAM out. You can't tell me that you've got RAM in there when you haven't. So he actually said, send the part back. I don't want the part. And I was like, but your computer won't work then. He goes, I don't care. I really didn't understand that.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know what I think about crazy people if you listen to the show.
Yeah.
Get them out. Get them out. Don't need them. Don't want them. I'm just lucky he didn't like shoot or rob you.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting there going, oh, I'm going to forget the heavies in a minute. I was always taught I got a business mentor with the university, and he told me, he goes, don't have cheap prices, because cheap prices attract cheap people.
Huh.
And he says the cheap people are mostly the crazy people.
It's a good point.
You don't want to deal with crazy people.
It's a very good point.
Even put your prices up 5-10% or something, just kind of weed out the crazies. Because if you're doing kind of dirt cheap prices, and you're going to get the kind of the people who kind of can, you know, the cheaper dirt cheap people.
That's a great
crazy
point.
People.
It's a great point. I had my share of crazies too. And I had cheap prices, so there you go.
I didn't have anyone as crazy as the Timpster. I think the lady who's ringing him up all the time. or anyone, I think there's a data recovery guy on. He says the woman was stood outside his house. I mean, that would be a bit weird for me. I just couldn't take that. I'd say, no, you can have your computer back. You can go away.
Exactly. Just really throw it in your car window and run away.
No, I was like, no, you have it back. Also, another customer in West Cross is the posh estate in Swansea. It's okay. Kind of set all the way out, and they've got these houses like £500,000. They're kind of, so it's a very wealthy area. And all I was doing is a power jack replacement. This woman's daughter had dropped her computer and broken the power jack.
Right.
It's fair enough. Replace that. And then fix it all up, super, kind of solder and super glue all back in together, and put it all together. It works fine. Get a couple, call a couple of days later, well, the touchpad doesn't work. So, why doesn't that work? So I go back, and the touchpad cables, for some reason, they were all burnt out. I was thinking, what's happened here? And after, to cut a long story short, there was when this daughter kind of dropped the power jack, it kind of bent this pin in. I think there must have been some kind of short circuit or something, because half the motherboard was kind of dead, and there was so much power fluctuations everywhere. And I was sitting there going, this is just not safe. I made it safe, like, you know, new motherboard, new kind of ribbons and things. These touchpad ribbons were just a pain. I had to replace kind of the whole motherboard. But the case was all fine. But I could just smell this burning plastic as I took the case off. And I was like, that is not a good idea. No. Burning plastic is never good.
I've witnessed that as well. I can definitely smell that electrical burn. So what caused it? They just weren't in properly or what?
I don't know. When I took it apart, I had to take them out to get the keyboard and things out.
Yeah.
But I put them all back right, and then this kind of woman shouted at me, well, it's your fault. I was thinking, well, look, I can show you that the motherboard, there's power fluctuations all over it. I didn't cause that. I was thinking, it must have happened, it must have already been there when you dropped the laptop or when you put the power chip in, right. When they dropped the power pin, it must have kind of some short circuit or something. There's something wrong with the system, and it wasn't me.
good for you. I think most techs would have folded. I think I might have, because I would have been so. I would have thought that maybe I did something or messed something up when I did the power jack repair.
I was kind of a bit hesitant, and this woman kept properly shouting, and I couldn't fix the touchpad because the actual touchpad itself was fried. Right. And I said, right, there's a solution. I'll give you a mouse. I'll give you, as a compromise, I'll buy you a mouse. Right. And she was like, okay, I'll have a mouse. And I was like, okay. So I kind of resolved that issue.
Right.
But the touchpad obviously still didn't work. But, I mean, I've got business insurance that covers against if I'd had done it wrong.
Gotcha.
But my insurance company, I did just check with them just to see if she was going to kind of sue me or anything. And they said, oh, because the touchpad, it's like a cosmetic feature, because you can actually... There's nothing wrong with the actual computer. If you plug a mouse in, it will work fine.
Are you serious? Touchpad is cosmetic?
Yeah, they said the touchpad and keyboards, cosmetic. Because obviously they don't want to pay out for anything, really.
Right.
They only pay out if I kind of do something and it electrocutes someone. That's what they want to pay out.
That's ridiculous.
But they said, oh, it's a very minor fix. Because the consumer can fix that themselves. I was like, what? And they said, because of the low value of a mouse is like £10.
Yeah, but that defeats the whole purpose of a laptop. You want to have an all-enclosed unit.
I know. I didn't understand it either, but right. A very nice woman, she explained it to me, and I was like, okay, but I thought it was just really weird.
Right.
But it's because insurance policies kind of vary, I suppose. So I don't know. Also, last computer story, customer story. Because I haven't properly started up, most of them are friends or friends of friends. I don't know how... how did you kind of deal with your friends going, oh, I've got something wrong with my computer, can you just fix it? Do kind of other people charge for that? Or I know there's kind of a series of, you know, a hot debate topic, really. Do you charge your friends, really?
It really depends. I mean, this is a variable scale. How much of a friend are they? How close to you are them? To you are they? I mean, I, I've I've had acquaintances and I've charged them, but I haven't charged them. I didn't charge them a lot. In fact, I used to hate when they asked me. I mean, it all depends. I don't know of any hard, fast rule. I just, if it was a close friend, I'd probably not charge. And then there were some people that I knew, and I charged them, but I would cut them a little break. And that's how I did it. And I didn't like it, but it kind of kept the social grease going in my my whole little environment there.
When I was working last year, one of my colleagues actually ran his own computer support company, his own time. And he said to me, he said, "I'll give free computer support to anyone who I consider as much as a friend that they'd help me move." So you can kind of really see who are those friends that are really your friends.
Right.
So like if you said, "Oh, I need help moving," and they go, "Oh, yeah, I'll help you." And those kind of friends where you go, I go, "Oh, I need help moving." And they go, "Oh, I'm busy that day." You're like, "Oh, well," you kind of really kind of see who your real friends are.
That's a great judge of friendship.
Yeah, I thought, oh, wow, that's a really kind of, so yeah, I and that's how I kind of do it now. And obviously, I don't know how other people kind of do manage theirs, but I say, oh, do I kind of, would they help me move house? And I think, this girl, she wouldn't, because I kind of, I know her, right. But I kind of know in kind of other social circles, so she's not really a friend, like a direct friend, she's right. Kind of friend of a friend, right. I think. So I kind of, and what she had a problem, she had a HP Pavilion and a laptop and turn it on, and it wouldn't boot for some reason. So I'm sitting there going, it gets the BIOS, and then it kind of gets to Windows, and it just dies. It just keeps in that, the little ticker timer that kind of goes round and round and round. When it boots up, it's got the little green bar that kind of moves across.
Right.
It just kept doing that, and it for like hours and hours and hours, and I was sitting there going, I don't know what to do. So I go in through where you can go into Safe Boot, and there was a little option that said boot in last good known configuration.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'll try that. And it booted up fine. And I was like, oh, it's almost like System Restore. I know you love your System Restores.
Yes.
System Restore was going to be the next thing I tried. And I was like, that's just really weird. I don't know how it managed to mess up the BIOS that much, but last good known configuration, which I think is probably the BIOS equivalent of a System Restore.
It's not BIOS level.
It's not BIOS level.
Last known good configuration is a Windows setting. Yeah, I think it is. I actually don't know exactly what it entails, but I think it does go through some type of like the Windows log and finds out when the last time you booted successfully was and restores those settings. But I don't think it's a full registry reset. I don't know. It's a good question. Mm. But hey, I've never used it with success. But
I was just sitting there going, because the next thing I was going to do was kind of try System Restore, and but it's just like booting good known last configuration.
And
I was
worked.
Like, oh, it was such a simple. Because I mean, most of the time, if it does that, I mean, you click the option, and it never works.
Right.
So you do end up going on System Restore, but it's just worked this one time. I was like, oh. That's kind of the one time that option has ever been useful. The rest of the time, it just gets in the way.
Well, there you go. It was a quick fix.
Quick fix, yeah. And I mean, she goes, oh, thank you very much. How much do I owe you? I said, oh, give me a few drinks, because I mean, it took me 5 minutes. So I'm not gonna.
Wait, did you tell her it took you 5 minutes?
Yeah, because she was kind of watching me.
She was staying there the whole time when you did it. Okay.
Well, because she was telling me what was wrong with it, and we were sitting in the library, and she said, oh, I'll show you what's wrong with it. So I thought, I'll have a 2-3 minute kind of diagnostic to kind of vaguely tell her what's wrong with it. And I managed to fix it, and I probably know it's probably the stupidest thing ever, is to actually try and do something in front of a client, because then they see how long it takes. And I mean, it took 5 minutes, and she's not going to pay me like £30 or like $40, $45 just for 5 minutes of work. She's going to go, no, because I mean,
you got a date out of it.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah, she went on her way, and it was fine. So
on her way, why don't you take her out for drinks?
So she did later on.
Okay, okay, okay.
She had a lecture the next day. So my data's on it. I can't get it out. And I was thinking, oh, it's going to be System Restore or data recovery, like take the drive out and stick it in a. I've got like a docking station thing that you can put it in. I thought it was going to be like a long job, but it took 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, I should have taken that. I should have said, I'll take it home. And then it took me hours. It took me hours. Right. You pay me money. It took me 5 minutes. I was doing it there in front of her. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
That's okay. I've done that too. We've all done that.
We've all done that, yeah. Last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to plug the Podnuts forums.
Yes.
I was a little bit, because I've been listening to the Podnuts for about 6 months now.
Okay.
And I've always been a little bit intimidated. This is kind of, I've scaled up from kind of contributing a bit on the forums to kind of now kind of being a guest now. And I was always a bit intimidated because I'm 20, so I'm quite young. And all the guys who come in and say, oh, I've been in computer repair for like 40 years now. I'm sitting there going, oh my God, they've been in computer repair longer than I've been alive. And it's kind of, it's a bit intimidating. So I've been a bit hesitant. But I think that there's nothing to really be nervous about. I mean, it's great fun. I mean, the Podnuts forums are always there. There's loads of people talking there. And I mean, I know you kind of a few shorts of guests for September. I mean, sign up and there's nothing. I was a bit intimidated, but there's no need to be. I always worry a bit about asking stupid questions, but I don't think there should be any need to, because everyone's quite friendly and it's a good community.
Absolutely. I mean, forums are great. And we really have great forums because there's like no jerks in there. You know what I mean? There really isn't. I mean, and we got great administrators and moderators and everything is cool there, and everybody just wants to help each other there. Really do. Yeah. They find it interesting, rewarding to do that, and they do. So definitely if you want to go to the forums, it's podnuts.com/forums. Sign up. It's free. It's a good time. And then you can do what John did here. I mean, you talk in the forums enough, and then you build up enough confidence. You want to come on the show. There's always open dates for the show. So and you're not nervous now, right, John?
No. I was sitting there going, because I've been kind of planning my notes for like the last 3 weeks or so, yeah. And I go, oh my God, I'm going to be so nervous, so nervous. And I mean, there's nothing to be nervous about. I'm just sat here, I'm just chatting. There's nothing to be nervous about. I think I'm just going to work myself over nothing, really. It's just so easy just to kind of talk. And
it's fun.
It's fun, yeah. I mean, just know what you know about what I know, and it's kind of a knowledge exchange. It's really good.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Do you want me to read emails now, or do you want to?
Yeah, go to emails, yeah.
All right, let's do some emails here. I have three only, and that's it. This first one is from Michael. He says, hey, Steve, just started recently listening to your podcast, and they're awesome. I can't believe how much I've learned in such a small amount of time. Keep up the great work. I listen to your podcast every night as I'm going to bed to try to learn more things I don't know to make me a better computer repair tech. Anyway, I'm emailing you for a little career advice. I went to college and will earn a business admin degree from I'm actually going to keep out the personal information here. So he says, we're in a business admin degree from a university, let's just say. I really do not plan on using it as much. I really want to get into the IT field. Currently, I work at a company. Who doesn't have the greatest reputation, but it was the only job I could get. I have been working there for about a year now, and the corporate retail side of things is really getting to me. I did earn my A+ certification last summer, and I went to eventually take more to help further my career. I constantly am looking for a better job, but I think my lack of experience really hurts me. Basically, I'm looking for a full-time job, possibly in computer repair or working in a school district as an entry-level tech. I would love a job where I could learn every day, get great hands-on experience, and be able to be around someone that knows a lot about computers. I know it's a long process, and I can't wait to put my time in and become great at fixing computers, network issues, or whatever comes my way. I just need that opportunity to get my foot in the door. I was wondering if you had any insight on where I could look for a kind of entry-level tech job or what else I could do to help land a full-time tech position. I know that I don't know everything about computers. I never come off that way. I would really like an apprenticeship type of position. I have no idea where to look for that. I need to get out and become a real tech. And he says, I've looked all over Career Builder, Monster, with no success. Any advice or insight would be great. Mike, okay, well, you know, there's a couple ways you could do this here. And I'll let John chime in too, because he might be around more closer to your age. But what I did when I wanted to get in the computer repair field is I started a computer repair business. I did not know much. I did not have certs. I did not have my A+. I put up a website and I pointed Google AdWords to it and I said, I will fix your computer on the website. It said that. It gave my phone number. People called me. I went to their houses, and if I didn't know what to do, I figured it out. And I'll tell you what, that is the fastest way to learn how to do something. When you are put on the spot, under fire, and if somebody's expecting you to come through, you learn faster because your necessity level comes up so high that you say to yourself, I got to do this right now. I'm under the gun here. And you learn because you're forced to. That is one way, maybe somewhat uncomfortable, but you're going to learn like a rocket if you do it that way. You could, so that's one thing you could do is you could buy like tech site builder or start your own site and just start your own business. Don't look for an apprenticeship job or a type. Just start your own business. You will learn very fast. That's one way. Second way is to look for an apprenticeship job. I'll tell you what, if I had a couple people come into my shop when I was working there and young guys, and they said, you're looking for people to work for you. Are you looking for people to work? I'm willing to work. And even some people said they wanted to be apprenticed. Nobody really, to me, kind of stood out as somebody I would want. They seemed like the people that came into me would hinder me more than help me. So if you feel like you're bright enough, I would go start looking at computer repair shops, local shops in your area where it's not like 20 techs working there and you're on an assembly line, where it's like one, you have one mentor or a couple guys working there that would definitely need the help and would be looking forward to having somebody help them. I was actually looking forward to somebody helping me, but nobody ever came into my shop that kind of blew my mind, so I didn't. But that's not to say that you know, you can't do that. If you feel like you can show you have initiative and potential, people will take you under their wing. So I would start – my advice is to start looking at local computer repair shops, walk in the door and say, do you guys need any help? And see where that gets you. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had an apprentice year. I was a placement student at a company in the IT department. And, I mean, I can say the only thing that really kind of came out with that was, if you don't know what to do, stick it in Google. I mean, I always came back to kind of my colleagues and mentors and say, oh, I've got this problem. What do I do? And they go, well, don't ask me. Look, ask Google.
Right.
And I mean, if you've had the same problem, they usually say, if you've got this problem, someone else has already had the problem and they've already asked it and Google's already indexed it. So just throw it into Google. And especially with error codes, I mean, blue screens of death. I mean, I don't know how many times someone's go, oh, I've got this error message on a blue screen of death. And you copy paste Google. And I mean, it's like the main resource I have is Google, really, because if you've got the problem, someone else has already had the problem.
And you're right. Google is so awesome, and it's instant, and you get tons
free
of results, and it's free. Yeah, Google is such your friend you don't even understand. So
yeah, from the point of kind of working for yourself, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you've just come out of university and you kind of need money, because obviously, I mean, if you don't want to move back with your parents and you need money, yeah, you kind of need to get a 9-to-5 job, kind of maybe an apprenticeship or something. But if you kind of want to be happy, even kind of preparing my own business is kind of make me happy, because I know that I'm going to have confidence in this brand, the business, and I can work when I want. So if I want to go home, if I want to go away for the weekend, I can. I don't have to tell work. I don't have to get time off for it, type thing. I mean, if you work for yourself, I mean, there's so much more potential you can do. I mean, it looks great on your CV if you then go onto a job and you go, oh yeah, I have my own company for X number of years or months. It looks really good.
That's a good point. It does. That would look good. Having like your own, like some self-employment experience under your belt. And it's easy, and you could literally start like in a couple hours. I mean, it took me a day to set up my site and put Google AdWords, point Google AdWords to it. I had people call me the next day or possibly the same day. So it's possible to do it. You don't need a lot of overhead as a computer repair technician, because if you don't have a shop, you just do mobile. You just drive your car around or get around somehow. But I'm giving you this advice because that's my experience. I didn't become an apprentice anywhere, and I didn't do, you know, go to school for this. So I'm telling you what I know. And if I had a different type of background, I might be giving you different advice. But this is what worked for me, and I learned pretty fast. Just hang out in the Podnuts forums and stuff, and just hang around Podnuts and see what people are saying, and get a lot of great advice from the people here. This community was built based off, like, I would come home from working at my shop every day and talk about what I did, and people were interested in it. So this is a whole group. Podnuts is a whole group of people interested in fixing computers. So if you hang around Podnuts, I'm not just saying that to plug the site, but this community will definitely be able to help you as well. So I would hang out in the forums.
I mean, I've listened to kind of most of the podcasts in the last 6 months or so, and I've gone through about 3 notebooks. I mean, when if I listen to it live, I've got my notepad and my pen there, or if I could download it onto my iPhone, and I just make notes, kind of like, oh, someone's said that kind of URL or something. I'll look that up later. And even if I'm on the bus or kind of it traveling, I mean, listen to it and then kind of jot things down. And I mean, if I go, oh yes, I've got this problem, or I've it was about 3 months ago, and I sift through all the notebooks, and I mean, there it is, and I go, oh, I can reference my own notes, essentially, and it's just a great community.
I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad people are getting a lot out of it. We have a great note taker for Podnuts Daily too. It's Data Mike Evans. So if you don't get a chance to write down the links, just go to podnuts.com/podnutsdaily, and then you get all the show notes there too. All right, let me do these other two emails. This one's from Ben. He says, hey, Steve, it's Ben from PCRescue.com. Just wanted to give your audience a, quote, what is new to me, end quote, utility that I came across while repairing a customer's laptop. The customer came in with her 2-year-old Dell Inspiron 1525 laptop complaining that she could not open her email through Windows Mail. The error message was Windows Mail could not be started because MSOE.dll. The utility is WMUtil, and it's from oehelp.com. That's the letter O, letter E, help.com. What it did was compact the files in her email, and then it repairs the Windows Mail application. After the job was successful, which only took about 10 minutes, we were able to open the Windows Mail, get her email, etc. Thanks for the show. Proudly representing my Podnuts hat. Good luck with the move. Sincerely, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Great tool. Thanks very much for the email. Next one's from Mitch. He says, hey, Steve, just got done listening to Nuts at Night. I got the Google Phone plugin. I've made several calls to landlines. I think the quality's better than my Vonage and Magic Jack. Google Phone is free in the U.S. and Canada for the rest of 2010. I'm not sure if you mentioned it was free here in the U.S. and Canada. All info on it is here at gmailblog.blogspot.com. I put this in, even though he talks about Nuts at Night, I put this in the Podnuts Daily show notes because this Google Phone app is awesome. I don't know if you use email. Do you use or Gmail? Do you use Gmail, John?
Yeah, I use Gmail, but we can't get Google Voice over here. I mean, it's just a US and Canada thing. I mean, you're saying, oh, yeah, we've got a Google Voice account. And I've looked at the website, and the Google Voice looks really good. But I know in the US, it's the receiver also pays part of the call, don't they? So if you ring someone, they have to pay for part of that call.
Oh, I don't know.
Whereas over here, I mean, it's the person who calls pays for all of the call. So obviously, when they try and map the business plan over here, it wouldn't work because no one would spend any money with Google
on right, on cell phones. Yeah, that's the case. But not,
yeah, on cell phones. Yeah.
Well, the call phone, it's just a little thing in the left hand side. Sorry for it's only for US and Canada, but it's left hand side of your bar there in Gmail. It just says call phone. You click it. A little numeric keypad pops up, and you could call any phone. I used this today twice. I'm reading an email. It was from Verizon. It was for me getting Fios when I move, which is in 2 days. I'm going to have Fios. So they sent me an email saying, okay, we're ready to set up Fios. You're going to have TV. You're going to have phone. You're going to have internet. Click here to approve this. And first of all, I don't want phone. I don't want TV. I just wanted data, and that's all I want. That's all I told them on the phone.
They tried to oversubscribe you so much.
Yeah,
they?
Of course. So they messed that up. So, and then the link that says to approve didn't even work. It wasn't even a link. It was just text. So I'm like, here we go. I called them up using this app because I'm like, got very angry right there, and I said, I want to call them. And conveniently, this little keypad just pops up, and you call them right from your Gmail and just talk into your laptop. So I'm talking to them, and I said, I expected this from Comcast, I said, but I guess I know what I'm in for with you guys too. And so we'll see what happens with Fios. But I really like that that call phone, so I just included that in the Podnuts Daily as well. Timster left a voicemail. Let me play it. It's about 2 minutes long. The quality is a little funky. I think he might have had a bad connection. But I will play this, and then we're going to end off the show. This is a 3-minute voicemail. John, I don't think you're going to be able to hear this. I'm sorry.
That's right.
So it's going to play for 3 minutes, and you're just going to hear silence. But I'll come back to you as soon as it's over, okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, here's Timster's voicemail.
Hey, it's Timster. I want to talk about thermal interface material that we use for to put on CPUs for heat sink, thermal paste. Had a laptop come in here that looked like somebody had gone into and replaced the thermal compound or the processor or heat sink or whatever the case is and used way too much thermal compound. It was the silver, probably Arctic silver. It was also over the board. It looked like you'd gotten kind of sloppy with it. And it was, I found Arctic silver over other parts of the board, like his finger or whatever he was using, dragged across it. The motherboard's dead, so I'm kind of assuming everybody's got to remember the Arctic silver or any kind of silver thermal compound is conductive. It is slightly conductive, and if you bridge two surface mounted components on a motherboard, it could potentially short the board. This motherboard is dead. No real reason why, but visually looking at it, it looks like that very well may be the problem. There is a product called Arctic Ceramic, which is white. It looks like marshmallow white. It's thick like marshmallow, but it is not conductive. And it does real good when you're applying interface material to chips that are very close to surface mounted components. But the Arctic Silver is what I use mostly, and there's also something called AC Diamond, which has actual bits of diamond in it. It is also conductive as silver. Works very well. The silver material works better conducting heat than the ceramic. But the way I do it is I'll put a small amount of Arctic Silver on the chip, and then I'll take a razor blade and at a slight angle and moderate pressure, just kind of smear it all over the chip, especially on laptop CPUs, which is what I do. And, and just wipe off the excess off the razor blade. You just want to leave a thin film of a thermal paste. So, anyway, just a quick tip. And just tell everybody to be careful with that Arctic Silver stuff. Too much is not good. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, John, did you hear any of that?
Yeah, sorry, Steve.
Did you hear any or no?
No, I didn't catch any of that, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. No, not your fault. I didn't think you would. When I get my new setup, I'll be able to have all the guests here to voicemail. Sorry about that. He was talking about thermal paste and how people overdo the thermal paste, especially on laptops. He had one laptop where somebody put too much Arctic Silver thermal paste on, and it basically gushed out. And he also found it in other parts of the motherboard. So the kid or person got sloppy with it and just kind of left a trail. Anyway, he said, and I wasn't sure about this, so Timster cleared it up. Arctic Silver is conductive. You don't want that slopping all over your components. And he named some other thermal pastes that he liked. But the way he said he applies thermal paste is he puts it on the chip and then takes the processor, and it takes a razor blade and pulls the razor blade over it and kind of paints a thin layer of it on the chip. Now, I did the same thing, but not with a razor blade. I would put a little bit on the processor and then take a piece of scotch tape and put it over my finger, over the tip of my finger. So, it's like if you put your finger straight up and you take a piece of scotch tape and put it straight up over your finger and kind of bend it around your fingernail, now you have this flat surface on your fingernail. And I used to just paint with the tip of my finger because it's very straight now because of the scotch tape, whereas if you didn't have the tape on it, your fingernail would be curved. But if you put the tape on, you got like a straight flat surface. And I used to just paint a thin layer on the CPU. That's what I used to do for thermal paste. Remember Mike Petro used to say, just take a grain of rice size dab of thermal paste, put it on the processor, and you don't have to even paint it. You just put the heatsink on and it'll set itself into place. So everybody has their method of doing it. I think the overriding theme of this is don't overdo it. What do you think?
Yeah, and don't overdo it, but also don't underdo it.
Right.
And whatever you do, I think the reballer, Lofty, the reballer, said, don't buy cheap thermal paste. I've seen a few people who do their own, a few of my friends say, I'll build my own computer, it'll be fine. And they buy this cheap, nasty thermal paste. And then they go, it's so hot in here. And they're getting blue screens because everything's frying. And they go, why is that? And I'm sitting there going, well, I mean, if you look at your thermal paste, it's dried up and it's all the parts are falling apart. You've got to get Arctic Silver is quite a good brand. That's the brand I use. But there are good. If it costs like 20 pence or 20 cents for like a little box, it's kind of a bit cheap.
Yeah, don't use it.
When you get the manufacturers kind of, the little free little tub. I throw that out. Just, I've got my own because if it's too cheap, it'll just crack, and it's going to cause you more problems in the long run. So you might as well just pay a little bit extra, and you're not going to have the hassle.
Exactly, and it's worth it. I mean, it's on like it one of the most expensive parts of your computer, so you want to keep it cool.
It is, and one last thing.
Yes.
Well, I built my own desktop, and one of my colleagues said the most important thing you've got to put in, and this links back to a couple of the other past podcasts, is the PSU. You've got to get a good PSU, because I was going to buy a cheap case with a PSU built in.
Right.
And he said, no, buy a decent kind of brand. I'm not sure what I got, but what. My PSU is, but it's 750 watts. I was going to buy this like cheap kind of 450 watt one,
right?
And then all the parts I got in there, it would fry, it just kind of break.
Exactly.
And I know a couple of the other people previously have said that get a decent PSU. I mean, if you're building your own computer or building computers for clients, even PSU. As much as the thermal paste is it's not immediately thought of, but it's kind of those vitally important parts of the PC.
Well, you know why? Because it's a boring part.
It is a boring part. But it's got to be done. If you have a rubbish PSU, it doesn't matter if you've got quad core, if you've got a tiny PSU, it's going to fry.
Yes.
And you're not going to get as much good out of it if you spend that little bit more and get a decent PSU.
Great point. You could usually tell how good a PSU is by the weight, how heavy it is.
Yeah.
So
if it's too light, it's a bit.
Yeah, especially when it's light and it says it's like a 750 watt, but it's light as a feather. You can't go by that. You can't go by the specs. You know, use your good judgment, but also you can go by how much it weighs. It usually tells you a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, mine came in a parcel. It was like a kilo, and it came in a little bag as well, a little cloth bag. And you know, that's I think it's Kingston, and it came in a little cloth bag to kind of protect it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to put it back in it because it's going to stay in the computer.
I know, I don't know why they put the cloth bag. It's so funny.
But I mean, I just stick random parts in it now, but it seems a bit pointless, but yeah.
It's a nice bag, I bet.
No, nice. It's a really nice bag.
All right, John, do you want to say anything before we close out, or?
Just again plug the Podnuts forums. It's good.
Nope.
It's good community. It's good debates.
All right. Well, I appreciate you definitely coming on the show.
It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Going to sign up in the future, right?
Yeah, gonna sign up in the future, yes.
Okay, and that was John from evernet.co.uk. That's going to end off today's episode of Podnuts Daily. I'll see you all next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.